today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Mark Geist, whose heroic story is told in the film 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, now available on Blu-ray and digital HD. Mr. Geist is a U.S. Marine veteran, having served for 12 years, which included service in the 2nd Battalion, 9th Marines Golf Company, as well as the Surveillance and Target Acquisition Platoon. Over the next segment, Mark Geist will talk about the incredible bravery of he and his fellow soldiers as they battled incredible odds on September 11th, 2012, defending the American Embassy in Benghazi, Libya, against a terrorist attack, helping to save the lives of more than 25 Americans. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to relive those 13 hours, feel free to give us 13 minutes as we refuse to stand down in the past so we can stand tall in the present. Mark, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Hey, thank you for having me, Jim.
Now, Mark, you're one of the brave men who defended our embassy in Libya on September 11th, 2012, which is depicted in the film 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi, now available on Blu-ray and digital HD. Now, Mark, tell us about yourself and how the film chronicles what you and your team experienced that day.
I was in the Marine Corps for 12 years. I was in law enforcement after that, and then had in the private sector, and then I started contracting when the war kicked off. And in 2004, I was working mainly in Iraq, and then pretty much any country that kind of ended in stan is where I would end up. Some over the last 10 years, and ended up in Benghazi. Got there about a month before September 11th, a little bit before that, and. You know, that night it was just a regular day for us because, we work for GRS, which is Global Response Staff, and our job is to protect case officers as they do their job, and they're not going to have us there unless it's a dangerous place. So to us, every day was almost like 9/11, just because we had to be ready in case anything happened.
So what are the things that 13 Hours, the movie, captures best about what happened that night?
Well, I think it's not just indicative of what happened in Benghazi. It's private security contractors around the world. We have 270-odd diplomatic facilities around the world, and there's private security contractors and Americans that are employed by both State Department and the CIA that work in these places. And, it's the bravery, it's the camaraderie, it's the teamwork. It's the ability to overcome adversity when you're faced with sometimes overwhelming odds, and come out on the positive. I think it shows the best of what America is, and not just in us, but in the bigger picture of people that are out there serving this country.
One of the things that people might be surprised about when watching 13 Hours is that it wasn't continuing battle. Events ebbed and flowed. Now, strategically, how do you deal with that kind of attack? And what was going on in your minds at that time?
You just deal with it as it comes. I mean, the biggest thing is, when you have the downtime, if there's a lull in the battle, you're making sure that you're resupplying with water, ammo, food if you can get it, reassessing your situation, and trying to continue gathering as much intel on the bad guys out there as possible. And you're always passing that up and hoping that the higher-ups are going to do everything they can to help you out.
So how accurate and how much attention to detail is there in 13 Hours?
Michael Bay and Paramount, when we first started this whole process, were very, very passionate about getting it right. They wanted to keep to the spirit of the book. We know that you're going to have to take some theatrical liberties to condense something that took 13 hours into a 2.5-hour, 2-hour and 20-minute movie. So there's a few characters and things that were doing a little bit different than what actually happened, but the events that actually took place, pretty spot on throughout the whole thing.
Right. Speaking of spot on, one of the key parts of what happened in Benghazi was the stand down order given to you guys, which you ultimately disobeyed. Do you think the stand down order was the result of bureaucracy or neglect, or was there another reason for that?
No, I think that, the biggest reason, Bob, he was, as any leader, if you're not, it's hard to deal with the situation and the stress that came with that. And I think he had a lot of issues that were coming at him. You know, being in charge, he has a lot of things that he has to think about. And he was trying to make that decision based on that. Bob's experience, you know, I think he was great at what he did in his job, but I think he was a little bit overwhelmed with that, with what happened that night. He was kind of a risk-averse person on a day-to-day basis. And when the call came in, instead of depending on, you know, the guys that are hired and have the experience to do what we do, he thought maybe he could get the situation handled with one of the local militias that we had a semi-relationship with.
So tell us about your fellow soldiers. What kind of guys are they and were they?
Well, you know, they're great guys. I mean, there was Tyrone Woods. He was he's the quintessential Navy chief. He was a Navy SEAL, had retired out of the Navy SEALs. He had been an instructor there in Coronado, in your neck of the woods. Everybody that knew him, he was highly respected in the community, as well as all the others were. I mean, we had two Navy SEALs, three Marines, and we had our token Army Ranger. But all the guys, I mean, they were great at what they did, and otherwise they wouldn't have been there.
So, Mark, what would you like people to know and understand about what happened that night?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, the book and the movie is not about the politics that has been encompassing over this, over Benghazi. I mean, Benghazi is almost a four-letter word in that sense.
Right.
And, you know, it's not about that. It's about a group of people from different backgrounds. I mean, because everybody there didn't all have the same philosophical background, ideological or political backgrounds. But as America and as diverse as we are, when we're faced with a threat to us, we tend to come together, forget about the differences, and focus on what we have in common. You know, and what we have in common as America is we're a great country, and I think this is just indicative of that. And how we can, with putting your differences aside and coming together, you can overcome tremendous odds.
Now, over
great
the,
things.
And you did. And over those 13 hours, of course, you were severely injured, and of course others perished. In those 13 hours, what did you learn about yourself and your fellow soldiers?
Well, you know, this isn't the first time any of us had ever been in a situation like this. Mm-hmm. This just happened to be the first time that it became a political football passed back and forth in national media. I think, you know, just what you really learn about yourself is that, again, the same thing. I mean, if you really want to, you know, exceptionalism is a good thing. You know, a lot of times it's in that, you know, lately in this country, people don't want to be exceptional. We don't talk about that. But, you know, we want the best out of everyone that we have in this country. No matter who you are or what you are, we want the best. And we should expect the best out of ourselves. And I think that's what we do, is expect the best out of ourselves and require it of ourselves.
Absolutely. Mark, it's been a tremendous honor having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past. And thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Jim.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television. Capturing television history, one voice at a time.